Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
It's my pleasure to introduce Mike Kelly, founder and CEO of Brand Value Advisors, a firm which advises private equity and VC investors on brand strategy, brand valuation, and sales and marketing implementation. Basically, Brand Value Advisors identifies the kind of tangible and intangibles that comprise a brand's value and offer a critical and unbiased perspective on what are the opportunities and risks associated with investing in the brand. And so I thought that Mike would have some very provocative perspectives to share with us based on the work of his firm, as well as his previous experience as senior partner and operating board member of Ogilvy, where he managed American Express, AT&T Wireless, Coke, and many other world-class brands. So, Mike, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Denise. I think I'm going to hire you as my PR agent. That was a one. I couldn't have said that intro any better. And I've been
well. I didn't say the part about you paying me the $20, but you know. Well, listen. I wanted to spend our time today talking about primarily the restaurant industry, mm-hmm. Because I think you have some really good insights into it. And so I just kind of want to start off and say that, you know, based on our conversations recently, I understand that private equity seems very interested in putting capital to work in quick serve and casual dining concepts. And I find that kind of surprising given that it's been quite a difficult environment for those restaurant concepts over the past few years. So I'm curious, can you tell us, you know, why does the appetite for these opportunities remain so strong with this investor class?
Yeah, I'll start off by saying, although I feel like I have a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, I hang out with these bankers and financial sponsors or private equity guys, as they're called, so much. Sometimes I forget that I'm actually in the fun, interesting part of the business. I'm neither one of those, but I can tell you, hanging out with them, that you know these guys are you know first and foremost, dispassionate about anything other than a good investment and a good return. So, typically, you know, in any investment that these guys make, there's a fundamental that's involved, an economic fundamental. And as it relates to you know restaurants in general, whether it's QSR or casual or you know sit down, the real kind of golden fundamental is you know cash flow and free cash flow. And a well-run concept in this category throws off a hell of a lot of cash. And that is really always sort of the big driver for these guys is that fundamental. Secondly, this is, like a lot of businesses, cyclical. And if you look at the results over the past few quarters, you're seeing a lot of businesses, both privately and publicly, report numbers that show the consumers are just coming back to the category. They're coming back to the mm-hmm. table and eating out a lot more. So I think these guys, on top of the fundamentals of cash flow, think that the business is on an upturn, that the you know they've weathered the bad economy and that the cycle is turning up and folks are coming back. And I think part of this is also, I think, heartened by the fact that even prior to the economic downturn, most Americans, as research would show, like eating out. And again, this is kind of before, during, and hopefully after this rough patch we've been through. But, you know, eating out is now very much part of the American dining experience. And so, you know, when you take that into consideration, coupled with, you know, probably brighter economic times, these guys feel very, very bullish about, you know, kind of the coming environment. Also, I think that, you know, because of the economy of the past few years, I think that they feel that there are really good brands out there that may be suffering from maybe some operational pressures, and they feel that bringing some operational and marketing expertise to bear, as well as capital, they can hit a double, or maybe even a triple, and really get a good return. And again, that's just kind of bringing money and maybe some additional management expertise to the table with some of these brands, particularly the underperforming ones. And we have relationships with a lot of analysts, buy side, sell side equity guys that follow these. And one of the guys we really like a lot feels that even underperforming brands can probably achieve lower to middle range, the middle range of acceptable flow through to the bottom line, with a bit of operational management expertise. So again, I think that the opportunity to really see good returns without a tremendous amount of operational risk is also something that really excites these guys. And finally, there's this notion of competence. 10 years ago, you probably had 10 private equity groups in the world that were good at doing restaurant-type deals and running them well. Now you probably have over 100 that are really good at this and have all the capabilities on both sides of the ball, operational, marketing. Obviously, they bring capital. So you have a big opportunity, lots of, favorable signs, and then you have competence and confidence in the fact that these guys can come in and do the right things in order to drive an internal rate of return that their limited partners will be happy about.
Right, right. So it sounds kind of like a mix of some shorter term factors, specifically today, but even given that statistic of the 100 firms, it sounds like there's kind of been more of a building or longer term interest in these categories for a while now, if people have really kind of been looking at them and have developed that competency that you talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And and quite frankly, a lot of and some of our clients that we've worked with, have learned, trial, by fire. They've bought maybe some concepts and, went through some very, very difficult times and learned a lot about, consumers and trends and behaviors and operational issues that, maybe 3 or 4 years ago when they were kind of during the salad days and, everything was looking rosy, these investments kind of look like, no-can-lose deals. These guys have also spent the last 4 or 5 years in triage and turnaround. And so, they also have, I think, a very intimate sense of, not just upside, but also how to, really prepare a business, for, things that maybe they hadn't thought of prior.
Right, right. So you mentioned trends, and I wanted to just kind of talk generally with you about trends and concepts in the quick serve and fast casual categories in general. If you could maybe, from your vantage point, talk about what trends and concepts have emerged over the past couple of years that have really changed the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get the obvious one off the table first, which is the advent of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm showing my age. I find the overall sort of discussion about it, at best tedious. I kind of likened it to, teenagers and sort of the subject of sex. Everyone is talking about it. Very few people are doing it, and the people that are doing it aren't doing it that well. So, that leaves, a small select group of people that are really, doing very, very interesting things with social media, but there's absolutely no question that, like things that were taking place 10 years ago, 15 years ago, with the advent of the internet, as a general usage type tool, that, over time, this is really going to be, I hate to use the phrase game changer, but it just simply will be. There are, no questions that this is really, I believe, how brands, and not just in the restaurant category, but a lot of brands are going to be stewarded and grown is, you know, not through TV, not through print. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying those things are going away, but as a, you know, as a medium that really is able to capture a broad audience across a variety of different dialogues in real time makes this a very, very powerful, you know, not just medium, but really behavior. And, you know, when you look at the guys today that are, you know, as I said, you know, very few are doing it well, but it's very interesting because the guys that are doing it well are not looking at it as new in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, reach people in a new way, but really more they're almost employing kind of tried and true marketing tactics, and just with a new medium,
right? With a new tool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. These are guys that, you know, right now you see the guys that are doing this badly. They're almost using it as a form of cheap TV to kind of raise general awareness.
Right.
Well, free is not free. Cheap is cheap. And, you know, in the end, you know, general awareness without captures below to sustain and drive transactions is a pretty inefficient way to spend your media dollars. The way the good guys are doing this right now, and I'll talk about a few of those in a minute, are really looking to activate their base first. They're moving the movable. They're moving the people that know the brand, that have relationships, have understandings, have expectations, are participating in the brand. And that's really where they're starting. They're not starting out big. It's actually quite local. In some cases, it's different store by store. I mean, outside of, you know, Facebook pages and what have you. But, you know, a lot of this stuff that's very, very effective and, you know, that ultimately is really driving trial and usage and tickets as it relates to restaurants is, you know, where these guys are focused. You know, and as I said before, kind of, you know, leveraging the people that know the brand, either as an experience or maybe they have an affinity with a certain product. These are the guys that are doing it right are leveraging those kinds of things. So when you look at, you know, there's brands like Dairy Queen, mm-hmm. Buffalo Wild Wings, Lenny's, Sonic and McDonald's, I think are, you know, guys that are doing very, very interesting things as it relates to the kind of things that I was just highlighting. You know, Dairy Queen, which, you know, you could argue is sort of on the wrong side of the health, you know, the healthy offerings and options, you know, but they're sort of, you know, you could argue are embracing kind of what they are. They're, you know, have done a very interesting program around the Blizzard that has drawn is just shot comps up on that offering. You've got people that are big loyalists with that. They've engaged them. They're rallying around the brand. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, they're not going to have to figure out maybe an offering downstream that's more relevant to health, but you know what? The brand is the brand. And, you know, I think, you know, a Buffalo Wild Wings is another one where I think they're really leveraging the culture and the experience more than, you know, versus a Dairy Queen is talking about a product. Buffalo Wild Wings is really doing a lot of very interesting things. In fact, you know, if you look at all the things they're doing, it's clear they are having fun and they're trying things. And it's not necessarily throwing things against the wall because everything they do, it's very clear that they have a deep understanding of their guest behaviors and wants. And what they're doing is they're trying things that are triggers to see whether those are things that, you know, customers and guests respond to. But they're absolutely trying a number of things. But again, it's all, you know, and I'm quoting this from the CMO, is to build frequency and to bring loyalists in who then can evangelize the experience. You know, and I got to give McDonald's a credit. You know, this is a big brand. Big brands like McDonald's tend to be dumb with stuff like this and even worse, lazy. And McDonald's, I got to say, has really done some very interesting things. They've actually, you know, what I didn't think was possible with a brand like McDonald's was, you know, they've leveraged Facebook, and not in general, but they've kind of used some interesting tools around location, some of the location tools that are working quite well. I mean, I was very surprised to see that, you know, McDonald's is not a transient, you know, faceless experience. These stores are different, and people that use them a lot know the people that work there. They may work there themselves, and they understand that. And, you know, and with the scale of a McDonald's, that kind of stuff adds up. And so I think these kinds of guys, whether they're big or small, or whether they're focused on product or on experience, are really leveraging these things in the right way, which is to drive loyalists, create deeper bonds, so that you move frequent users to use more, and also that they go out and kind of tell a friend, and maybe somebody right. who's not as familiar with the brand. So I would say that those guys have really, you know, are really kind of in the forefront of leveraging this stuff in the right way. I'd say I'm a bit surprised by In-N-Out Burger. This seems like a brand that's culturally built for this stuff. They've always sort of been very much of a customer touching brand, very, very personal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not quite sure why, but they just really have not been leveraging what I think would be, you know, from a brand standpoint, that would give them a lot of, a lot of permission here and probably a lot of advantage just based on kind of how they've built their brand over the year vis-a-vis their customer.
Right. Maybe they don't need it or something.
Yeah, it's just sort of it's sort of strange. But, you know, I mean, those are things from a consumer and a brand building standpoint. Also, the thing you got to think about is, as it relates to social media, is the economic impact. I mean, the number crunchers, the CFOs, the analysts, I mean, are looking at this kind of media and saying, my God, I mean, this is going to radically shift allocations of media, and quite frankly, is going to shrink the pie. I mean, if I can build preference and consideration and loyalty and awareness at a rate that's, you know, 70% cheaper than it has been in the past, and you know, you could argue X times faster, all of a sudden, social media, I mean, there may be some premiums built into some of this stuff, but it's never going to reach the premiums that, you know, the more traditional routes to market, you know, have cost.
Right. So it really is it has a transformational impact, not just on marketing, but on the business model itself.
No question. Absolutely no question. And, you know, they're going to have to figure out what to do, you know, what they do with that money.
Right.
You know, they I guess they can, you know, put it back in retained earnings, but, you know, it's very clear that you're going to probably see with where the surplus of this cash goes, a lot of it will go into innovation. A lot of it will go into, you know, as it relates to new products. I think it's going to be a very interesting time because you're talking about a lot of money that is going to be sort of, you know, redistributed is a popular phrase these days.
And maybe new concepts also. You know, I've been really intrigued, to hear about existing brands opening new concepts. So rather than thinking about, you know, expanding their own brand and kind of, you know, just opening more doors, they're actually looking at ways they can leverage a competency they may have in a brand new concept.
You and I should go on the road with this because that was a perfect segue into some of the concepts that I was going to talk about. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. You know, one concept right now that I've kind of stumbled upon when I was out in Columbus, Ohio, visiting a client recently, was a place called Piadina, which is a concept that has been started by the ex Bravo Brio guys. And I think the Bravo Brio concept is a great concept. These guys know how to, you know, really run a good business, market a good business, and scale a good restaurant concept. You know, they've obviously made a ton of money from the Bravo Brio experience, and now they're taking that and they're basically building out. The Piadina is an Italian answer to Chipotle, and it is really good. And they've got one store right now that they're trialing outside of Columbus. I think they're going to open another one. They got a line out the door. It very much, you know, operates like a Chipotle, but it sort of has an Italian type twist to it. But you know, these guys are taking, you know, either whether it's money that they've earned from a sale, or whether there are going to be other concepts out there that, you know, where the free money is going to go do exactly that. They're going to start to look at, you know, other concepts that are doing well, and if there is appetite for more, you know, I think you're exactly right. I think there are going to be a lot of different concepts, you know, hybrids or completely different ideas that are going to start getting floated out there. You know, I think, you know, this sort of gets me into another concept that I think over the past few years has sort of evolved, is this whole notion of kind of this bakery / cafe. I call it sort of the Panera effect. Yeah. You know, Panera is just, you know, a brilliantly executed brand. I mean, on every level. I mean, you could argue that they've sort of not even redefined the kind of bakery concept, but you could almost argue that they've almost created a category, the way they've gone about it. And, you know, what we've learned is that this is a very strong concept fundamentally, because the day parts are strong from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. And you can have the same customer coming in a couple of different times a day. It seems to be jiving very, very nicely with lifestyle. And it's just it's a very, very strong concept that you know, has the fundamentals. It lines up very nicely with the lifestyle issues. There's a concept called the Corner Bakery Cafe, which is, you know, what I call a baby Panera, which is a great concept, sort of sprung forth from that. But, you know, again, I think that's another concept area that, you know, out of the last few years has sort of, you know, really emerged as a very, very strong contribution to value.
Right. Well, good. You know, Mike, I could talk to you forever, but we've unfortunately run out of time. And so actually, this will be a good teaser for my listeners. I really encourage you to reach out to Mike, learn more about Brand Value Advisors, and contact Mike through their website. It's brandvalueadvisors.com, all one word. And I'm sure that Mike would love to share with you more insights about the restaurant industry as well as other categories that his firm works in. And, you know, ask him to put you on his distribution list. He sends out occasional emails that either provide context to certain market trends, or they might call out certain brands that they think are getting it right or maybe getting it wrong. I hope you can tell just even from this brief time that there's a lot of insight and wisdom there. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I look forward to hearing more the next time we can talk.
Thanks, Denise. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.